Dr. Martin Luther King says injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. I'm Naomi Catron, former breastfeeding and perinatal health stud, turned into labor and delivery nurse and CEO and founder of a busy private lactation practice. Not very long ago, I lacked the skills, knowledge, confidence, and perspective to effectively care for families who desired to provide breast milk to their babies. And after spending lots of time, money, and heartache learning the most effective ways to support breastfeeding families, I decided I wanted to help other perinatal professionals and parents skip some of the heartache and feelings of uncertainty or insecurity, and instead transform them into confident, equipped, and thriving providers and families. So I made the Birth, Babies, and Boob Business podcast, where I bring together my background as a labor and delivery nurse and a board-certified lactation consultant. On this podcast, I pull back the curtain and share little-known facts from across the perinatal profession in an effort to create more confident and collaborative professionals and families. Because let's face it, we are surrounded by a sea of information, but it's not always the right information for every situation. So if you want to step up your lactation knowledge and gain simple, actionable, and effective tools to improve breastfeeding success while helping to nurture and nourish future generations, then this is the place for you. So let's get started. Today, we're going to be discussing Black Breastfeeding Week, which is generally the last week in August. This is a generally newer week of celebration, and a lot of people have asked me, you know, well-meaning friends, like, why is there a Black Breastfeeding Week? I even had a friend ask me, like, is there a White Breastfeeding Week? And she was very well-intentioned, so I figured it would be a good time to talk about why there is a Black Breastfeeding Week and what it's all about, and why it's important for all of us to know about Black Breastfeeding Week and how we can support the issues surrounding the need for Black Breastfeeding Week. So that's what we're going to talk about today. I hope for it to be very informative, and it is a little touchy of a subject to some people, so I'm trying to make it just something that people can feel comfortable to listen and learn a little bit and share and just kind of do better. Everyone who's, you know, interested in this topic, even people who maybe didn't know they might be interested. Maybe someone shared this podcast episode with you. It'd be great for you just to kind of listen while you're driving and kind of just learn something new today. Or if you already know it, maybe share it with someone that might can use some information on it. So Dr. Martin Luther King says injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And I will just put it right out there, as a cisgender, heterosexual, middle-class brown female, I do live with a unique perspective of how race and socioeconomic plays out in our country. While I can sympathize with Black women, I cannot ever truly know their lived experiences. And that makes talking about this issue of social justice a little bit challenging. I'm just going to take a crack at it and do the best that I can. What I do know, though, is there are systems in place in our culture that make it harder and more dangerous for women of color and their families in all aspects of their life. And Black Breastfeeding Week attempts to address inequity in one small piece of the greater puzzle. Now, if we believe that breastfeeding is the normal way to feed babies, because that's the way in nature babies were intended to feed, there were no bottles or formula. So if we believe that breastfeeding is a normal way to feed babies, and that babies who are not breastfed suffer from more health and social issues, then we can assume that lower breastfeeding rates disadvantage some groups from birth or even before birth. So let's be clear here. I am not trying to guilt anyone who is not breastfeeding their babies, right? So I'm just sharing that the statistics show babies who are breastfed are sick less often. So since breastfed babies are shown to be sick less often, then that's how we come to the conclusion that they have better health outcomes. And it can be viewed that this is a disadvantage to babies who are unable to be breastfed. So here are some facts, and these are all stats that are from before COVID-19. And if you would like to see the actual, my actual article with this information, you can go to milkdiva.com/blog and just type in enormity or black breastfeeding and it'll pop up. I think it's one of the earlier posts that I have. So it'll be pretty buried deep down in the blog posts, probably only like the third or fourth blog post I ever posted. But between 2010 and 2013, 79% of babies born in the U.S. were breastfed. And if you break this down by race, there is a huge disparity. So for white infants, 81.5% were breastfed. And the number for black infants, however, was 64.3%. This is from Volkner 2017. I think these numbers have since been updated, which are, they're very similar. In the U.S., black mothers were 9 times more likely to be given formula in the hospital than white mothers, which is a known risk for risk factor for premature weaning. In the U.S., black mothers weaned their infants 10.3 weeks earlier than did white mothers. McKinney et al. 2016. Black infants in the U.S. are twice as likely to die during their first year of life compared to white infants. Black mothers in the U.S. are greater than 3 times as likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than their white counterparts. Kriyanga, 2017. So for people who just weren't aware that there was any kind of documented disparity in health outcomes, you can see here that there are these are just a couple of documented health outcomes for the mother and for the baby, but they're pretty significant. And so there's a lot to unpack here. So that is just a super bird's eye view. So let's just kind of jump into maybe a little bit like why this is complicated. The breastfeeding experiences of Black women, and I say Black women, not African-American women on purpose, right? Because we can have Afro-Latino people, we can have people from the Caribbean, from Jamaica, from Bahamas, from all different parts of the world. But it doesn't, you're not of African American descent, but you are Black facing, and it doesn't matter. The stats don't care where your background is from. If you are perceived Black or dark skin, these health outcomes, you're unfortunately part of that statistic. Or you may become part of those statistics. We're trying to prevent that. So the breastfeeding experience of Black women are complicated by the history of colonization, slavery, and white supremacy. McGuire 2018 writes, within the realm of influence that contribute to the comparative low numbers for breastfeeding amongst Black women are slavery, racism, implicit bias, and discrimination from care or treatment providers. So until we fully recognize and explore the interplay between these factors, we may not make an impact on breastfeeding rates in populations who deserve a level playing field. And what all of those words mean is that if you really unpack these statistics, for example, Black mothers in the U.S. are greater than 3 times as likely to die from a pregnancy-related complication than their white counterparts, you might be tempted to just say, well, it's because they have a less than ideal diet. They live in more dangerous neighborhoods. They, maybe don't go to all their prenatal visits or seek prenatal care later. Their nutrition isn't up to par. All of the things. These are things that you could be thinking but don't say out loud, and that's okay. It's my job to kind of say it for you. These things you might ask, well, why do they, why do some Black people live in certain neighborhoods? Why do some Black people have a hard time getting access to high quality foods or high quality healthcare? Why are some providers offering formula at higher rates to Black women in the hospital than they are white women? I mean, really, if you stop to think about those things, just ask yourself, well, well, maybe because they didn't go to college, maybe because they didn't, you know, get a good enough job. Maybe, you know, there's all these things, but then you always have to ask, well, why? And so if you're not familiar with what implicit bias is or systemic racism is, you might want to look into that, because that really is a foundational information, or is the foundational kind of perspective to understand why white families and black families do not start off on even playing fields. Let's continue here. The end of slavery didn't mean better outcomes for these women. They still often were separated from their own families in order to work as domestic help in white households or to move where there was work in factories. So you should also know black mothers, you know, if you want to take it back to the time where there was slavery in this country, they were forced to be wet nurses to their white slave owners. So they had to feed their white slave owners' babies first. And if there was milk left over, then they could feed their babies that. But clearly, if you're being forced to do something, that doesn't like make you want to jump out of bed the next day and like teach your daughter how good it is to breastfeed their babies, right? It really puts in a real negative connotation, a negative feeling to be forced to do that. And so that carries on for many generations, knowingly or unknowingly, right? So also you should know that in addition, formula marketing was targeted at black mothers throughout the 20th century, while breastfeeding promotion was often only aimed at white mothers. All of these circumstances combined to not only stigmatize black women breastfeeding, but also to make black women less open, right, to using their own bodies to feed their babies. They were hesitant to use their bodies to feed their babies. Choosing not to breastfeed can be viewed as an act of rebellion against white privilege and white supremacy. The description above barely touches on the tremendous black burden, black women bear when it comes to being mothers. Freeman in 2017 has written in depth about the topic in her article called Unmothering Black Women. She provides an annotated background that everyone should read. And near the end of her paper, she writes, quote, "To be effective, breastfeeding advocates should not direct their efforts towards individual women. Instead, their goal must be structural, aimed at reforming law, policy, and social inequity. They should seek to shed light on the institutionalized systemic obstacles to breastfeeding in Black communities and the lingering stereotypes that make these obstacles falsely appear to be personal choices or failings." I think we should really just kind of repeat that last part, so important. But black, you know, basically talking about undoing the stereotypes that make these obstacles falsely appear to be personal choices or failings. That, remember, is a stereotype that is not necessarily always true. It is not mostly true. It is not probably more often than not a true statement. These are not personal choices or failings on the black community most of the time. The legacy of slavery poisons the experience of lactation for these women. The continued prejudice and discrimination that persists even into the 21st century compounds the fraught decisions about infant feeding, creating first food deserts. This is an important word. A food desert is a community that lacks access to affordable and healthy food, such as fresh fruits and vegetables. And a first food desert is one where babies lack access to breastfeeding, which affects the health of these youngest community members. These areas are disproportionately home to people of color, and the women in these communities are unfairly blamed for not breastfeeding. The problem, however, is that structural systems beyond her control, such as institutional racism, the lack of pregnancy, birth, and breastfeeding support, and the economic necessity to work outside the home, make it nearly impossible to nurse. Those are real life things, my friends. And many of you that are listening to this might say, well, I'm not black, but my mom couldn't stay home with me. She had to go back to work. We were financially disadvantaged. I lived in a food desert too. And yes, while you may have suffered those similar hardships, it was not compounded by racism and generations of racism, which didn't allow for each generation to be born on level footing. So, you know, generation after generation after generation of being slightly disadvantaged, if it's only slightly, has a compounding effect. So a little bit of slight disadvantage, you know, with grandpa, great grandpa, you know, great, 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 right? They compound. And so now you fast forward 5-6 generations, and this small, what might be viewed as a small disadvantage, is now significantly more. And that is best case scenario. That's if there was just a small, you know, disadvantage, if they still had access to all the same schools, all the same education, same pay rate, all of those things, which we know is not true for Black people. So just want to put that out there. How can we get past this predicament? How can we protect and support women of color so they can mother their children however they choose? Well, definitely first step, take a look and learn more about Black Breastfeeding Week by visiting blackbreastfeedingweek.org. That's really, really important. I would highly recommend you checking out a journalist by the name of Kimberly Seals, S-E-A-L-S, Allers, A-L-L-E-R-S. She has a fantastic website, Black Breastfeeding 360. And there's some other really great resources you can check out on our blog. Free to Feed, Voices of Black Mothers is a great place to start. What else can you do? You can just be an ally, educate yourself about social justice experiences and people who are different from you, and just check your own privilege and bias. It's just really important. We all have them. I surely do, for sure. And stand beside rather than in front of those you seek to help. Support legislation that has the potential to lift up families of color. This doesn't necessarily need to be specific to breastfeeding to impact breastfeeding rates. There's definitely an intersection of race, class, and gender combined with lack of support and healthcare systems at odds with marginalized parents. So those have a ripple effect. So whatever legislation you can get behind to help those areas definitely really do help. Champion baby-friendly hospitals and greater access to lactation consultants in the hospital, especially in underserved areas and outpatient. Seek out and lift up the voices of Black lactation consultants and lactation consultants of color as reproductive justice advocates. And, you know, one side note I am going to put there, this episode should be airing in August of 2022. And here at Milk Diva, we are starting a program to help fund as many people as we can. But right now it is a small number of people's lactation consultations by the proceeds of two affiliate programs. So we are an affiliate for the Ninico pacifier and for Kindred Bravely prenatal and maternity clothes. So like pajamas and bras and nursing and pumping things. Clothes. And so we'll have a link, and we have just two links for those two companies. And the income or the proceeds that we make from the sales of anything that you get from those websites goes directly, 100% of it goes directly to pay for lactation consultations for people who cannot afford them. Now, I don't want like 50 people calling me this month for consults, because right now it looks like it's paying for one per month. But the more people that you share those links with, then the more funds we have access to pay for lactation consultations for people who cannot afford them. So just a side note, I'll put that link, those two links for Kindred Bravely, our particular link, and for Ninico Pacifier, in the show notes. And the last thing maybe you can do to help, the last two things are going to be to promote workplace accommodation for parents. And that may mean paid parental leave, protected time during the workday for pumping or breastfeeding, things like that. And women who can take off time from work without, you know, we're trying to help encourage people to be able to take that time off without fear of losing their jobs or of starvation due to lack of income. So people who are able to take time off of work without fear of losing their jobs show that they're able to breastfeed longer. and people who have to go back to work because they have to go back to work if they have a more breastfeeding friendly or pump friendly workplace, it does help them to lengthen the time that they're able to provide breast milk for their baby. And let's work together and help to build first food friendly communities to fight to combat food deserts, especially when that includes first food deserts, which is breastfeeding. So my words in today's episode are, you know, feel very inadequate to the enormity of the injustices women of color face. But we are ultimately one community in the end, and what affects one will affect all others. I do want to put out there that Native American women are significantly in the statistics shown to suffer a significant disadvantage with just as staggering numbers as Black women, in some cases even have more poor outcomes in certain areas. So let's not forget Indigenous women as well. Members of our greater community need help breaking down barriers to the most basic of human rights. Like your first food is human, is like that is a human right. Feminist author Bell Hooks writes, to be truly visionary, we have to root our imagination in our concrete reality while simultaneously imagining possibilities beyond that reality. What possibilities can you imagine for yourself, for your family, your neighborhood, your community? For all women. Think about that. And I would love to hear your comments in any ways that you might think you can maybe make just a little tiny positive change in your sphere of influence, in your profession, in your work, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your church. And I'd love, it would just be great to kind of just get your messages and let me know what you are kind of able to do in your circle. And if that means maybe gifting someone one of the Nini pacifiers from the link, that would be terrific to help raise some money for our fund, to help pay for other people's lactation consultations that they could not ordinarily afford. That would be terrific. Or share this episode, maybe help enlighten someone who might not have known that there was a need for Black Breastfeeding Week. I hope this has been informative and helpful and eye-opening. Till next time. Thanks for listening. To learn more about newborn feeding and get your free swipe file, visit milkdiva.com/newborn feeding. And if you've ever said, wow, I wish I would have known that while you're listening to this podcast, then help a friend out and share this podcast with them. You can also help us by leaving us a rating so more people can benefit from finding this podcast. Medical disclaimer, please know that all opinions expressed on this podcast are solely my own and not intended to substitute the advice of a medical provider. I am not a medical doctor, and all information shared is intended for your general knowledge and is geared towards full-term, healthy singleton infants and healthy, low-risk pregnant or postpartum women.